You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District Bonus Hour. Thanks for being with us. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on Twitter/X. Our poll question today, Nick Saban says NIL is ruined college football. Not is ruining, has ruined college football. Is he right? Yes or no? That's it. Close vote throughout the day. More of you have said he's right than wrong, for what it's worth.
Really wonder how many of the people that said no still think college football is ruined, though.
So that's why you think if we had done it over again, we would have given them a third choice, which is it's not ruined, which in theory, though, is no. If you say, you know,
right,
saying NIL has ruined college football, then you can vote no and go, Nick, it's not ruined.
But if we asked Nick, you know, I just think if we said NIL, the transfer portal, it's not ruined, I would love to know where it's not ruined would have fallen into that. Hell, we've got time before the start of college football season, David. We may revisit it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, they'll finalize the new playoff and the divvy up the money. And so, oh, yeah, we can have a few more of these questions. Right. Nick's not shy. He'll do plenty of interviews.
We've got damn near 175, 180 shows before college football starts. So,
so it seems, wow, really? That many?
Or that many days, not many shows.
God, I was going to say, then again, we don't take a lot of time off. So, I don't know, Mark, you might be right. You might be right.
Boy, did I get vindication last night, David.
Ooh, what for?
Well, the daughter had a softball game. The first two softball games, I missed one because of the golf tournament, so I missed one of her games. But if it's her fourth game, I've been at two. They've asked me to run the scoreboard for both games.
Right.
I missed the third game, so I've been replaced, and I'm fine with that.
Right, takes a lot of pressure off.
But this guy screwed up like five times. He's getting yelled at from both sides. I'm just sitting there going, see? See?
Not so easy, is it?
Don't tell me the button sticks. I know the button sticks. Be better than that up there, huh?
I know I've said this before, but the most pressure I have ever felt is not broadcasting a game. It was the one time that somebody had called in late and I was just going to be a fan watching the game, and FGCU tapped me on the shoulder and said, can you do the scorebook? And I'm like, sure, I can do the scorebook. I mean, come on. I do the scorebook while doing play-by-play. I mean, if I can call the action and write down buckets and fouls, of course I can do the scorebook. And then two things happened. They gave me that zebra thing and said, put this on. I was like, oh, wow, you guys are taking this seriously. And then the lead referee said, you know, Moulton, you're the official. Not what any of us say. The book is the word. Don't screw it up.
Is that the first time you've ever put the stripes on before?
The only time I've ever done it. I mean, I've umpired and, you know, sports, officiated. But, yes, at the college level, really high school level or higher, that's the only time I've ever put the stripes on before. And, man, did I feel pressure. Even, like, they come over and they're telling you the fouls. And I'm like, is that 21 or 12? And, sure, you know, and you're like, oh, man, there's a 21 and a 12 on the court. And a couple times I had to go, hey, Bob. Is that 12 or 21? And literally one time he's like, this hand is the first number. I'm like, oh, okay. I just want to get it right.
Yeah, and that's nothing as opposed to doing a U10 softball game.
I know. Now
those parents care, David.
Right. I don't have anybody yelling at me. That's all, you know, internal pressure. I mean, I was sweating almost like Trent was last Thursday when the equipment didn't work. I mean, it wasn't quite that bad, but I mean, inside, I mean, it was pressure.
So I just sat there and watched that game with a big old smile on my face and said, see?
Good deal. Good deal. Now, the problem is that they ask you now, hey, can you come back?
Well, if they ask, I'll do it. Best seat in the house. It's the one thing about it is literally the best seat in the building for the game. So and I have no other parents around me, which is great. Because I cheer for both. You know me. I cheer for both teams. I'm the parent that, you know,
right.
We're at the level now where there's not a lot of strikes thrown. I've seen one good pitcher in four games. The rest, they're really struggling to get the – it's hard. It's the first time they've thrown. It's not easy. You go out and throw a windmill softball and see if you can get the ball over the plate. So the catcher has a lot of responsibility, a lot of stolen bases, a lot of pass balls. So when the catcher's – it doesn't matter which team. When the catcher makes a good play behind the play, I'm like, that away, catch, good scoop. I don't care what team it's on. Kid gets a good hit. There's not a lot of strikes. Kid swings a bat. That's a good hit. And if it's the other team, I got eight parents looking over their shoulder going, who's this guy sitting on our side rooting for the other team?
Right, because it's very important whether or not it's the Mustangs or the, you know, Capitals who win.
I will say I give them credit since this is a local hour. One of the they make the managers all pick a college team for this. So there's one team that chose Ole Miss. He must be an Ole Miss grad, but we're the FGCU Eagles. The other team's the FSW Buccaneers. So I give credit to the coaches for picking the local teams, not to mention both have been pretty good. The Buccaneers have been terrific in softball, but FGCU's been pretty solid over their tenure as well. So
cool. Very quickly, not going to get too much more in depth with this, but I'm just wondering, is anything close to strike?
Yes. Well, it depends on the ump. Last night, this guy's moving the game along. If it's there, let's call a strike. Let's make these kids swing. I'm with you.
Because I did that when I was an umpire, when you're doing little league and what have you. I'd literally, they come out and what have you, and I go, listen, tell your pitchers, tell your hitters, if it's close, it's a strike, okay? I mean, come on now.
Let's swing the bats.
Yeah, we got to go. We got a two-hour thing, and let's if it's close, all right, you got to swing the bat. No looking for walks here. I don't care. And at the time, that's when baseball was transitioning to working the count. And so, the kids, no, the hell with that. We swing the bats here. Let's go. I may not on two strikes. I'm not going to necessarily give you the call on two strikes if it's, 4 inches off the plate. It's like, it's two strikes.
But 3-0, 4 inches off the plate, that's strike one.
But 1-0, that pitch is a strike.
Right.
Yes, it is. Come on now. Let's go. Let's move this along. That's a pretty good slider from an 11-year-old there. Come on. Let's go.
So, yes, big night for me at the and, of course, it was important that I didn't have to do the scoreboard last night because I was locked in on my phone making sure there were no free agent deals being done while watching college basketball scores as well as a few NHL scores.
If they have a game over the next few days, are you going to be able to set the laptop up and watch college hoops, or are they going to take offense to that?
School spring breaks are next week. So the first 4 days of the tournament, no games.
Oh, that's amazing.
The timing could not have been better for that.
Now, I have to admit, if statewide, if they're taking off of school for the NCAA tournament, then I take back all of the criticism I've ever had for the state of Florida and how often kids seemingly don't seem to be in school. Because now that's prioritizing. If not for the kids, for the parents. Or really for the dads. So I would give them a tip of the hat. I'd be like, you know what? Maybe you need a $50 donation to some cause. Not to the FHSAA. They're corrupt. All right. But somewhere else.
So there you have it. 21,000 is the text line. 21000. You want to chime in on anything on the show. We've been talking a lot of college football today.
Yeah. Nick Saban said college football has been ruined. I got out because it's ruined. I hate it. I can't. And we didn't say exactly those words. We're paraphrasing here. But he's it's Clint Eastwood on his porch you know, without the shotgun. I mean, he's not happy.
Which is interesting because he is now the new one of the new voices of the sport. He was right. The voice of the sport as a head coach, but now has a platform where we're going to hear him for 3 hours every week.
Well, do you really think he's going to get challenged? Who on that show you think is going to challenge an opinion of his?
McAfee.
Maybe. You think he will?
McAfee.
Now, I will say he started making regular appearances last year on McAfee's show. I never saw any of them. I don't know if McAfee ever challenged him on anything, but.
I never saw him challenge him on anything. But he would try to poke the bear a little bit. So I will be interested to see if he at least takes a counterpoint approach with anything with Saban.
It's a heavily produced show. I mean, I don't know, although I don't know how early Nick's going to get in. Not that you can't do a production meeting via Zoom and what have you, but it is a heavily produced show. So I'll be curious how much you think the guys, like, you know, inside the NBA, you could tell they've got a topic, but, you know, they don't know what the other's going to say because they don't know what they're going to say. You know, ESPN shows don't work that way. They just don't. I'm not saying they script them, but they go through them.
But their production meetings have production meetings, is what you're trying to say?
And they'll have rehearsals. Now, it's tough to have a rehearsal for a 9 a.m. show, but they'll do segments in a production room on a Friday night dinner in which they'll talk through, okay, we're going to bring up NIL. All right, we're going to start with Nick. You know, Reese, what are you going to ask him? Okay, and then they determine basically the order, at least to start. Okay, then we'll go from Nick to Kirk, and okay. You know, who wants to say what? You know, and maybe Desmond will say, well, I disagree with Nick on this. Okay, we'll go to you third. You know, but I mean, it gets talked out a little bit.
So Nick Saban said college football has been ruined because of NIL. It's our poll question today. Do you think he is correct? Yes or no? Go to that Mark Miller, the David Moulton, or Miller_Moulton on X to cast your vote on whether you think NIL has ruined college football. It's the Diamond District Bonus Hour. Of course, brought to you by who else? Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. It's a hump day. Thanks for getting over together with us. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on Twitter/X. Our poll question today, Nick Saban said NIL's killing college football, has killed college football. It's done, past tense, killed college football. Is he right, yes or no? And right now, a small majority of you say, yeah, he's right. So vote. That Mark Miller, the David Moulton, and Miller_Moulton. Vote accordingly.
Big article that I read this morning on College Football Network about NIL and just the cost, and they've gone to boosters and different people. What you brought up a couple of days ago, David, that we're flipping the bill for this. NIL is being paid for by us. And that there is booster fatigue, donation fatigue.
Yeah.
Because in the old days, when you gave your big, even this is even at the highest level, the big donors, they got their name on a building. Now when you ask the coach what they want, you know, they'd, as this article says, what do you need, coach? I need a locker room. I need a new weight room. I need this. I need that. Now they say NIL. That's what they need is NIL.
Yeah, I need a corner. I need a wide receiver. And that just doesn't, you know, do it for the booster necessarily.
But it does it for the booster, perhaps, if they're at Georgia, where they win and win and win. But the Florida booster who's being asked to flip the bill on both sides and not seeing results on the field, that's when they start having the fatigue because their money's not buying them what they want.
Well, here's the other thing, though, Mark. I mean, this is every year, though.
Yes.
That's the other thing. Whereas, like you said, we want to redo the locker room. Well, okay, me and, you know, we'll chip in. They do the locker room. That's it. They're not coming to me the next year about the locker room. I mean, how many upgrades can we have? We do the concourse. Okay, I bought the gun.
David, even at the highest of highest levels now, we just watched a school buy themselves into a conference by paying for the athletic department for 5 years until they actually become a full member of the ACC. SMU said, how much is it going to cost?
Right.
They went to basically 10 people. 5 to 10 people at SMU are flipping the bill for the athletic department while they make the transition to the ACC. But they know there's an end game.
There's no end game with players. You need new ones every year, and not only that, the price is only going to go up. Oh, by the way, and you have to put down a personal seat licensing fee just to be able to buy your season tickets?
So you can watch the players that you paid for play?
I mean, it's another reason why I'm telling you, you got to make them employees. The boosters, the fans, how much do you want to keep paying for? How are you letting your beloved university off the hook? The checks are all coming to them. The TV money, the ticket money, the sponsorship money. Anybody compensating you?
Oh, good. And you're sending your kid to school there. So not only can you pay for tuition, but they'll add on a few extra fees because if there are any shortages in the athletic department, you know where they're going to get them from? Student fees.
Never mind. It's certain universities, it's a lot tougher these days to get your kid in them, even if they meet past qualifications and even if their parents both graduated from there and even if they gave money. So I'm just, that's what I'm waiting for, Mark. Listen, I understand we don't like the concept of all of this. I get it. It's messy. It's unseemly, the whole deal. We get it. But now it's time to come up with a solution. If somebody can tell us a better solution than making them employees, we're all ears. But we think making them employees also alleviates this problem. Because who's going to pay them? Not you. Don't you want to be off the hook for that? Don't you have your own life to pay for? Aren't you already buying tickets, sending them money? How much more do you have to do for them? And by the way, how do they not have the money? What are they paying for would be my question if I was a Bull Gator. And they're like, well, we can't provide the money. Well, then change the damn rules so you can.
And the other side of this is that the Olympic sports are going to become club sports at a lot of places.
Yeah, but you know, they don't have to be. And I don't just mean financially, Mark. You could sit down, figure this all out where athletics pays for itself. Because you can at these major schools. You can. You really could. But the other thing, Mark, and we know this, there are many an industry that does something and it's called a loss leader. Nah, we're probably not going to get our money back on this, but this is good for us, trust me. I mean, Mark, come on, you've been in the business for a long time. How many sponsors did you get to write you a check in which if they had to sit down and justify it, are they really going to get their $50,000 back in actual cash that they can literally go, oh, I got that back because I bought signage with Mark?
If they advertise on this show, they will.
Well, yes. All right. And there are a few sponsors who, quite frankly, think they built their business off this show. And we were
goodness, could we use a couple more?
In fact, one of them is the Diamond District, proud sponsors of the bonus hour of Miller and Moulton. But you know what I'm getting at here. If you're a university also, you mean to tell me with in the grand scheme of things, the money that you're spending, you look at them and you go, really? These 15 sports, let's just say we're losing $7-8 million doing these 15 sports. You really don't think we're getting that money back? You don't think that's good for us? All these people who become alums, all these people who have kids, the money that we get back, okay? The money that we're getting from their parents, by the way, while you were playing these sports. You sure? You sure we don't get our money back? I mean, how many of these have to become uber successful to us to get our money back like that?
I don't know how many have to be successful to get your money back. I could argue that you never get your money back on some of those sports, but you get your money back if your football team's good, and you get your money back if your basketball team's good. Outside of that, I don't know where you get your money back. I mean, there's a phenomenon going on in women's college basketball right now that we are at unprecedented times in that sport, not just with Iowa. We've never watched in the numbers that we've watched before.
And yet fewer people have never gone to the FGC women's games that are going right now.
No one even knew it was played. Stop it. No, no. I found out they were playing last night on X. Because whoever was covering the game tweeted out about it. Not because FGCU tweeted out about it.
But, I mean, they're not even getting the people who used to go to their game. I mean, what is this going to be, their 10th? If they win the conference final, which they're hosting, is it Saturday?
That's a great question.
I think it is. But okay. Anyway,
if you say so.
Central Arkansas. But, I mean, will that be their 10th conference title in the last 12 years? I mean, Stetson beat them in 13, and Jacksonville beat them in 16. And I don't think anybody else has beaten them in the A-Sun since. So I think that'll be their 10th title in 12 years. And the pandemic year, they didn't play the final, but they were awarded co-champions. And, you know, they had a 30-win team, and they were at home. They would have beat Liberty because they beat them the next 3 years. So they would have beat them. But, I mean, that's 10 out of 12. And they've never, with this phenomenon that's going on in women's basketball, their attendance is going down.
Hosting Central Arkansas Saturday in the final.
There you go.
Miller and Moulton, the Diamond District Bonus Hour.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes till the top of the hour, 16 until we're done. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on Twix. Our poll question today, Nick Saban testified before Congress yesterday that NIL has ruined college football. Not is ruining, has ruined college football. Do you agree, yes or no? We've had some vote no, but then say, no, the transfer portal has. Nick's right, it's ruined. That's just not the number one reason. Oh, okay. Anyway, vote accordingly.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
1852, we start. The Uncle Sam cartoon makes its debut. It was in the New York Lantern Weekly. Chester Greenwood patented earmuffs today in 1877. He was 15.
And what do you do from there?
I don't know. 1954, must have been in spring training. The Braves' Bobby Thompson breaks his ankle, is replaced by this guy named Hank Aaron. Two Chicago things happened today in 1960. The first is the Chicago Cardinals moved to St. Louis. That's the NFL.
Right.
Just making sure people knew. And the White Sox had new road uniforms that had their names above the numbers. 1965, Eric Clapton leaves the Yardbirds. They would replace him with Jeff Beck.
Well, and you would know this better than me, but this is like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You know, what if Rich Rod had taken the Bama job? I mean, the stuff that apparently unfolds throughout the rest of the 60s because of Clapton and Beck, and then it ended up
Jimmy Page, and yes,
he recommended Jimmy Page. They went with Beck, and right.
And it was just 2 years ago that Brady ended his 40-day retirement. L. Ron Hubbard, Andy Bean, and former voice of the Rays, Dave Wills, who would have been 60 today.
And not only that, the one-year anniversary was just a few days ago.
I know.
Tragic passing.
William H. Macy, 74. Adam Clayton from U2 is 64. Will Clark is 60. Trent Dilfer, 52. Johan Santana is 45. P.K. Subban's 35. And Coco Gauff is 20. What did I miss, David?
Nothing. No, nothing. You hit all the big stuff. I mean, I got stuff from the 1800s, but whatever.
Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
Who says going to Facebook doesn't pay off? It did for Jennifer Vaccaro of White Lake, Michigan. She was at a little bar and grill when she decided to buy a Powerball ticket while her fiance was playing Keno. She said, "I usually pick easy numbers, but since we were just hanging out having a drink, I decided to take the time to pick my own numbers." Next morning, she was scrolling Facebook and saw a winning post at the place she was at, checked the numbers, and realized she had won $1 million. Good for you. For the bad, we go to Naples, where Todd Dahmer had access to the safe at the 7-Eleven he worked at, because he made bank deposits. But when the deposits came up missing, it's believed that Dahmer fled on foot, jumped a Greyhound bus to Tampa, but he couldn't get away from the popo, as Lee County or Collier County authorities, along with Hillsborough County sheriffs, tracked him down and recovered most of the $25,535 that he ripped off from the 7-Eleven. It's a lot of Slurpees.
Sure is.
Finally, the ugly. We go to Jensen Beach, Florida, where Landon Newman was at a beach on a walkway at a clothing optional beach. But apparently the pathways aren't really clothing optional. He was seated in a recliner chair with a hat over his face with a note advising passerbys, "Please feel free to investigate gently." Fortunately, police were on foot patrol when they came up on the naked Newman and arrested him for indecent exposure. Had a note, "Please feel free to investigate gently." And that, David, is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, March the 13th, 2024.
Both the Heat and the Magic in action tonight. In fact, the NBA Finals rematch tonight in Miami. They had a good game last time in Denver. And so they're hosting the Nuggets. Denver, a 4.5-point favorite at Miami. Now, normally you'd say, you know, the Heat really want to start winning these games because you don't want to be in the play-in. Yeah, Mark, where were the Heat last year?
In the play-in.
How'd they do?
They did well.
Right. They won the East, I believe.
Yeah.
Right. From the play-in. So.
When they almost lost the play-in to Chicago.
I was going to say, wasn't that Bulls game? They were trailing.
Like, they lost to Atlanta. And then had to beat the Bulls, and with 4 minutes to go in the fourth at home, they're losing. Right.
Unbelievable.
6 weeks later, they're in the finals. Mm-hmm. Going through both Milwaukee and Boston, too. It's not like it was an easy road or anything. And they did play the two best teams in the East and beat them. So Orlando hosting Brooklyn, and Orlando I believe right now is the 7. Technically, I believe the 7-8 would be Orlando-Miami today. Or is no, sorry, Philly's the 7. Orlando's actually the 5. The Orlando Magic right now would play a first-round series against the Knicks, which is probably not a good matchup for the Magic. But so Orlando's hosting Brooklyn, and the Heat are hosting the Nuggets.
But you still have just 3 games between the Knicks, who are the 5, or the 4, rather, and the Heat, who are the 8.
Correct. And that's why every game is seemingly pretty big here in the final 17, 18 games of the season.
But I want Celtics-Heat 1-8 so bad. We would eat that up. Celtics-Heat 1-8 matchup. That'd be awesome.
Well, think about it either way. Let's just say the Heat stay where they are. They're in a 7-8 play-in. They win the first game, they're the 7. They play Milwaukee. Milwaukee goes, oh, this is great. We get the Heat in the first round again. Oh, right. That's fantastic. Okay, or say they lose it, and then they win the next game, and they're the 8. Guess who they play right out of the chute? Boston. Boston goes, are you serious? We win 60, because the Celtics are going to win like 64 games. They're going to go, are you serious? We win 64 games, and we get the Heat? Coming out of the chute? I mean, believe me, the Bucks and the Celtics desperately want the Heat to be the 6. Get in that 3-6 first round. Stay away from us. Get over there.
Then I think they'd beat Cleveland in the 6-3, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Daniel Gafford, 28 for 28. It's not Luka and the Mavs hosting the Warriors. It's Daniel Gafford, who hasn't missed a shot in nearly 2 weeks. He and the Mavs are hosting the Warriors tonight at 8:30. If he gets 7 for 7, he ties Wilt's record. If he can go 8 for 8, he'll... No one in NBA history will have ever made more consecutive shots than fourth-year center out of Arizona, Daniel Gafford. So there you go. NHL tonight, not many games. Remember, it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league, so only 4 games tonight.
Vancouver's hosting Colorado. That's a really good game.
It's hysterical. The 2 really good matchups. I'm talking about, like, all playoff teams. 3 of the 4 teams have, like, 3 of the 6 highest point totals in the league. Nashville at Winnipeg, Colorado at Vancouver. Yeah, you're not going to be able to see those games. The TNT doubleheaders, the Kings and the Blues, and the Caps and the Oilers.
I'm not going to knock them for putting Ovechkin and McDavid on television.
I hear you. I get it.
I mean, they do these schedules a long time in advance. I'm not going to knock him for putting Ovechkin and McDavid on TV.
All right. Big conference tournaments are definitely underway today. A few of them got underway yesterday. UCF, a winner yesterday. 12:30 today, they play BYU on ESPN2. Second round of the Big 12. UCF, I think, has had a pretty good first year in the Big 12, don't you?
I totally agree. They just started spring ball and football, and they're looking for bigger things. They got the quarterback transfer from Arizona or from Arkansas there. So, I mean, football had a and Melzon was completely upset with the first year, and I thought they did fine in football. Basketball did a little better than football.
Yeah, the football team actually blew a couple games.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot better, but – you know, but the UCF basketball team's got like 4 wins over ranked teams, 2 of them on the road, beat Kansas at home. I think they acquitted themselves well. We'll see if they can upset BYU, who's a 6.5-point favorite. By the way, so many injuries with Kansas, Mark. The Jayhawks are playing Cincinnati, and Cincy's a 2.5-point favorite. Think about that. That's how many, 2 starters out for Kansas. They're very shorthanded. The thought is they may mail in this Big 12 tournament and just rest up and hope that they get a late Friday opening game, to be honest. They need as much time as possible to get their guys back.
3 bids on the line tonight, how I see it, David. Nichols and McNeese State, the Southland Final. McNeese State's a 16.5-point favorite in that one. The Patriot League Championship, Lehigh at Colgate. Colgate a 6.5-point favorite in that one. And then the Big Sky Championship. Ho, ho, ho. Montana State and Montana, David. A big one there. Montana, 6.5-point favorite.
Throw the records out. The battle for Montana.
Bobcats and the Grizzlies?
I think it's just the Grizz.
Oh, are they just the Grizz?
That's what their logo is. Okay, I don't just, know. Yeah.
I thought they were the Grizzlies, but.
Their little word mark just says Grizz.
They're the Grizzlies.
Okay.
Grizzlies and Bobcats. Ho, ho, ho.
David,
play it outside.
For what it's worth, in the Big Ten tournament tonight, I love your Scarlet Knights +3.5 versus Maryland. I don't understand the line. It should be a pick 'em. Both teams 15-16. Coaching advantage, Rutgers.
Game on Peacock at 6:30.
So there you have it. There's the college basketball, a little bit of the college basketball slate. Conference tournaments, as we mentioned, are full on tonight and today, starting at 11:30 this morning. St. Joe's and George Mason.
A-10, Big East, ACC, Big 12, SEC. We are doing Pac-12. First round games underway today. How about USC and UCLA both in the essential play-in games? That was not what the Pac-12 had in mind when the season started.
The Conference of Champions.
The Washington State head coach, by the way, was named Pac-12 Coach of the Year.
And should have been. What a year they had.
But just
or having.
Final year. But it's just, you know, the way it worked out, the final year of the Pac-12 and football and basketball and who ended up being good and who didn't and all that stuff. Yeah.
Washington State, by the way, projected to be a 6 seed. They could make a little run, little baby run here.
Well, the Gators will be a 6 or a 7 is what they're thinking. I mean, those 2-7, 3-6, I think it's going to be a tremendous tournament. Lot of blue bloods in the second week, though, which could make it an even better tournament from a ratings perspective. Hell, the men just have to live up to the women this year. Can they get as many eyeballs as the women? They will. I'm just in the tournament. They haven't necessarily in the regular season.
Yeah, but once Thursday comes, things change.
Yes, it does. And for that matter, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Dayton, some of the potential matchups. This could be the best Dayton that they've had in a while. If they do this properly, Mark, if they just put their index finger on the scale, they don't have to put their thumb on the scale. They just have to put their index finger on the scale. They could line up Dayton really nicely.
You just want that New Mexico-St. John's matchup.
Damn right. And I want Indiana State, Michigan State, 45 years after Magic and Larry. You're damn right I do. It's a television show, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, then make it a TV show. Miller and Moulton. Happy hump day. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.